So 3 weeks ago, I asked, how often have you asked the question, God, where are you? It was something that resonated, I believe, with just about everyone. Whatever times, whatever trials we go through, we sometimes wonder, God, where are you? Because I believe we've been so indoctrinated with a lot of the teachings that go on, well, if you're not in such a place, then God really hasn't blessed you, so there must be something that's going on. Yet I conveyed that this question is usually asked when we are in the midst of a trial, whether it be an illness or grieving, or that we're struggling, or that whatever situation, we as believers have likely at one point in time asked God, where are you? Ultimately, I concluded that ultimately it's God who hasn't moved but us. Yet today, I want to turn this dynamic around a little bit to where God is asking, not we asking God, where are you, but to where God is asking, put your name in the beginning, where are you? Stephen, where are you? Adam, where are you? Ultimately, what is your response? It can vary. It could depend. You may not even hear God asking. You're keeping in mind, God knows exactly where you are. He didn't ask Adam for the sake of wondering where he was, but that something had changed because of it. I believe the first time that the still small voice of Adonai asks, where are you? Is typically when he begins to open our eyes with the intent of circumcising our hearts, ultimately leading to Teshuva and turning to him. He's ultimately waiting for us. Keeping in mind, we may not always respond immediately. In looking back on my life, I can see several times where I believe Adonai was calling me. Yet I don't know if I was truly listening. I most certainly wasn't paying attention. But when God calls, how do you answer? Sometimes the answer is silent. We don't answer at all. Yet there are a few times in Scripture where when God calls, there is a distinct response. Anybody remember the Avon commercials? The doorbell rings. What's the response? Avon calling. There is a distinct response. In Genesis chapter 22, chapter known as the Akedah, the binding of Isaac, in verse 1, after these things, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham. He called him by name. He knew him. He said, Abraham. And he answered, Hineni, here am I, here I am. To where when God typically calls us, he's calling us for a purpose. In other words, everybody in the body of Messiah has a purpose. Some may be similar. Some may be exactly the same. But each is unique to the person he's calling. So God calling Abraham, it was to test him. Test what? ultimately, when we go through chapter 22, which we're not going to do in detail, it's in essence to say, Abraham, do you truly trust me? When we look at verse 11, just as that knife is coming down, the angel of Adonai called out to him of heaven, Abraham, Abraham. He answered, Hineni. He was willing to sacrifice his son for God. God, in essence, received his answer. But ultimately, he wanted to find out from Abraham, Abraham, where are you? Not, I can't see you, but where are you in your relationship with me? Genesis 46. Yaakov is in essence, I don't know if he's wondering or it's like, well, God gave us this land. He promised it to us. He gave it to us. Yet in essence, he's telling me to leave because of the famine. Verse 1. Israel took everything, Jacob. Israel took everything he owned with him. On his journey, he arrived at Beersheba and offered sacrifices to the God of his father, Yitzhak. In a vision at night, God called to Israel, Yaakov, Yaakov. He answered, here am I, Hineni. Even in a dream, God can respond to us and interact with us. He said, I am God, the God of your father. Don't be afraid to go down to Egypt. It is there that I will make you a great nation. Not only will I go down with you to Egypt, but I will also bring you back here again after Joseph had closed your eyes. So, here you have another aspect. Where is Jacob? Where is Jacob in his trust, his relationship with God? God, you just gave us this land. Now you're telling us to leave. And in essence, Adonai reassures him, as surely as I'm going to take you there, I'm going to bring your descendants back. But in the meantime, I'm going to make you a great nation there. Not in the land you're in, but as a foreigner. God ultimately knows, but he's wondering, do we know? Do we trust? Do we understand? A lot of times what's before us doesn't always make sense. Then we get to Moses, Exodus chapter 3, which is basically next week's Parsha. Now Moses was tending the sheep of Yitro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. Leading the flock to the far side of the desert, he came to the mountain of God, to Horeb. The angel of Adonai appeared to him in a fire blazing from the middle of a bush. He looked and saw that although the bush was flaming, the fire of the bush was not being burned up. Moses said, I'm going to go over and see this amazing sight and find out why the bush isn't being burned up. When Adonai saw that he had gone over to see, God called to him from the middle of the bush, Moshe, Moshe. He answered, here I am. Basically, a shepherd in a foreign land, many miles away from the people that he had descended from. God knew where he was. But did Moses know where he was in relation to God? He said, don't come any closer. Take your sandals off your feet, because the place where you are standing is holy ground. I am the God of your father, he continued, the God of Abraham, the God of Yitzhak, the God of Yaakov. Moses covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Adonai said, I have seen how my people are being oppressed in Egypt and heard their cry for release from their slave masters because I know their pain. Wherever God is, he knows the pain of his people. Whatever you're going through, he knows what you're going through. But Moses, he was in a distant land away from his family, so to speak. Yet God knew where Moses was. But Moses had no idea what God had planned for him. In verse 10, therefore now come and I will send you to Pharaoh so that you can lead my people, the descendants of Israel, out of Egypt. Whoa. I think this is beyond my capabilities, Moses might have thought. Every potential, it's the word that I had, every potential inadequacy that he may have seen in himself did not see him being the one to lead Israel out of Egypt. Moses said to him in verse 11, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? God replied, I will surely be with you. Your sign that I have sent you will be that when you have led the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Where you're seeing me now, where you're talking to me now, you will come back to this place, and that will be your sign. And then Moses would go on with one excuse after another. Apparently it wasn't 2017, the year of no excuses, but God did not take no for an answer. He knew Moses better than Moses knew himself. After much apprehension and doubt, Adonai reassured him, I will surely be with you. So in looking at all these situations, there are people who have followed God, who trust in God. Yet, in other words, there's always room for more. There's always room for improvement. There's always room to draw closer. Now I want to jump forward to Acts chapter 9. There was a Talmid in Damascus named Hananiah. And in a vision, the Lord said to him, Hananiah, he said, Hanani, hear my Lord. The Lord said to him, get up and go to Straight Street, to Judah's house, and ask for a man from Tarsus named Shaul, for he is praying. Hananiah, God called him for a specific purpose. God calls you for a specific purpose. He calls you to draw closer to him. Whatever the reason, are you hearing God's voice calling you by name? And let me go on with this story. In verse 12, and in a vision, he has seen a man named Hananiah. This is Shaul having this vision. Coming in and placing his hands on him to restore his sight. But Hananiah answered, Lord, many have told me about this man. How much harm he has done to your people in Jerusalem. And here he has a warrant from the head Kohanim to arrest everyone who calls on your name. You may be called to do something, and it may be not easy. It may be confrontational. It may take you out of your comfort zone. But ultimately, God sees the bigger picture. Hananiah, in essence, like Jonah, you want me to go where and do what? In other words, Hananiah is saying, you want me to go to whom? He wants to kill us. But the Lord said to him in verse 15, go, because this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name to the Goyim, even to their kings and to the sons of Israel as well. God uses us for his purpose, and it's connected to others as well. Could Hananiah's apprehension of saying, no, Lord, I won't go, could it have led to, in essence, a wall being put up where Shaul, even though he was called, Hananiah said no, but ultimately God will choose someone else. But in choosing someone else, you've, in essence, disobeyed God. God has called you. Are you saying Hineni, or are you using excuses like Moses? Oh, well, I don't speak well. Oh, I'm an introvert. Oh, that's just not my calling. So ultimately you're saying God doesn't know your calling, but you know your calling better than God does. I've used this term before. You are looking at a recovering introvert. Someone who would not sit in the front or the back, but would sit in the middle and be, in essence, a face in the crowd. Yet, the congregation that we were at, the pastor who was there was an interim pastor. And sometimes God does speak through people, and sometimes it's confirmed through others, where he said, I'd like you to give a sermon. I'm not going anywhere, but I want you to give a sermon. Well, I don't know. And then there's a voice somewhat behind me, but beside me saying, he'll do it. She's sitting in the back right now, actually. Now, if she didn't do that, and his name was Pastor Rick, and if he didn't do what he said he was going to do, would we even be here today? There is cause and effect, and I'm not going to go into the physics of everything, but there is cause and effect within God's community as well. Now, keeping in mind, we're not saying, well, God told me to tell you this, and I've shared this with you before. Never take that as the first aspect to act upon. God told me to tell you. Take that more as a confirmation that God, whatever he's doing, he's confirmed it or is confirming it through more than one person, through something that he's already done within you. Jerry told me years ago, even before I knew it, she said, when I first knew you, I knew you were called. And it's like, okay. Then we had an altar call at the church that we were at, and the pastor looks over to me. I'm like on one end. There's like a big altar, and it's like I'm on one end. And he says to me, imagine this place being filled with Jewish people. And it's like you leading them. It's like, you know. Okay, now I know whatever it is, he's smoking something, but I don't know what it is exactly. That was 2001. Keeping in mind, God doesn't work in mysterious ways, but he works in ways to bring you to where you need to be. Moses, he didn't say to Moses, well, you're leaving here, okay. He prepared him how? Through shepherding sheep. It's by no accident that Yeshua calls us sheep and that he is the great shepherd. So when God asks, where are you listening? And let me close with Psalm 40. I'm trying to keep it shorter for you. There's another example I have in here. Well, let me share this. So God speaks directly to individuals. But let me share these with you as well. Isaiah 52. He doesn't speak just to individuals. He speaks to his people as a whole. Isaiah 52, 1. Awake, awake, Zion. Clothe yourself with your strength. Dress your splendid garments. Jerusalem, the holy city. For the uncircumcised and the unclean will enter you no more. Shake off the dust, arise, be enthroned, Jerusalem. Loosen the chains of your neck, captive daughter of Zion. For thus says Adonai, you were sold for nothing, and you will be redeemed without money. For thus says Adonai Elohim, long ago my people went down to Egypt to live there as aliens, and Asher oppressed them for no reason. So now what should I do here, asks Adonai, since my people were carried off for nothing, their oppressors are howling, says Adonai, and my name is always being insulted daily. Therefore, this is the key verse, my people will know my name, therefore on that day they will know that I, the one speaking, here I am. His people will recognize his voice when he calls them. And if it's not just for his people, think of this verse as well. Isaiah 65 and verse 1. I made myself accessible to those who didn't ask for me. I let myself be found by those who didn't seek me. I said, here I am, here I am, to a nation not called by my name. The nations will hear him. Amen. Closing, I wanted to share Psalm 40. Just to give you an idea of where David is. I waited patiently for Adonai till he turned toward me and heard my cry. He brought me up from the roaring pit, up from the muddy ooze, and set my feet on a rock, making my footing firm. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will look on in awe and put their trust in Adonai. How blessed the man who trusts in Adonai and does not look to the arrogant or to those who rely on things that are false. How much you have done, Adonai my God, your wonders and your thoughts towards us. None can compare with you. I would proclaim them. I would speak about them. But there's too much to tell. Sacrifices and grain offerings you don't want. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you don't demand. Instead, you have given me open ears. So then I said, Hineni, I'm coming. In the scroll of the book is written about me. Doing your will, my God, is my joy. Your Torah is in my inmost being. I have proclaimed what is right in the great assembly. I did not restrain my lips. Adonai, as you know, I have proclaimed what is right. I did not hide your righteousness in my heart, but declared your faithfulness and salvation. I did not conceal your grace and truth, but the great assembly. Adonai, don't withhold your mercy from me. Let your grace and truth preserve me always. For numberless evils surround me. My iniquities engulf me. I can't even see. There are more of them than hairs on my head, so that my courage fails me. Be pleased, Adonai, to rescue me. Adonai, hurry and help me. May those who seek to sweep me away be disgraced and humiliated together. May those who take pleasure in doing me harm be turned back and put to confusion. May those who jeer at me, be aghast because of their shame. But may all those who seek you be glad to take joy in you. May those who love your salvation say always, Adonai is great and glorious, but I am poor and needy. May Adonai think of me. You are my helper and rescuer, my God. Don't delay. So when God asks, David provides us this wonderful psalm of what's going on inside of him. Yet ultimately God is saying, where are you? And in essence, David is responding. And there is this notion of faithfulness in David's words about what he is doing. Yet he's also dealing with his inner side as well. So let us know that when God asks, where are you? Think of the bigger picture. Think beyond your insecurities. Think beyond your infirmities. Think beyond yourself. Because there is more, God has a bigger plan that involves you. You are key in His purpose. So if everybody will please rise. He said to Moses, speak to Aaron and his sons and tell them that this is how you are to bless the people of Israel. You are to say to them, Ivarecha Adonai Vishmarecha, Yayer Adonai Penevlach Vihunecha, Yasei Adonai Penevlacha Vyasem Lacha Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine His face upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord manifest His presence to you and give you peace. In this way they are to put my name on the people of Israel so that I, the Lord, will bless them. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father and our King. Lord, when you ask, where are we? Let our first words be, Hineni, here I am. And Lord, may you reveal to us why you are calling us, and may we obediently follow your instructions, just as Abraham, as Moses, as Jacob, as Hananiah, as the prophets. May we be faithful to you, Lord, in all things. In Messiah's name we give thanks, and together we say, Amen. Chairs go around the table. We will do Kiddush in a few minutes. And if you need to get a hand warm or otherwise known as a hot cup of water, there should be plenty. Whether it's hot chocolate, coffee, or tea, it's there for you.